This is West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Radio. I'm Beth Voorhees. In his final visit as U.S. Senator to West Virginia University this weekend, Senator Jay Rockefeller and WVU President Gordon Gee announced the university would become the home of the senator's legacy in three ways. As Ashton Mara reports, the celebration in Morgantown of his 50 years of service was one that proved, even as he steps down from his congressional seat, Rockefeller's commitment to West Virginia will only grow.
West Virginia is where I found my life's purpose, my spiritual calling. And it is in West Virginia that I hope my legacy will be remembered and my journey as a public servant understood.
More than 250 people packed into the Milano Reading Room in West Virginia University's Wise Library as Senator Jay Rockefeller and University President Gordon Gee revealed what form that legacy would take on the school's campus. First, as announced earlier in the week, Rockefeller's senatorial archives will find a new home in the university's library. 2,000 boxes of documents from his 30 years in Washington and 500 gigabytes of electronic data are included in the archive. They will be available for study by students, staff, and most importantly to Rockefeller, the public.
I hope when people read these volumes, they will better understand both the legislative issues, but also me, and why was I fought so hard and continue to and will ever continue for those least able to fight for themselves.
The senator's personal favorites and the ones he wants people to look at most closely are papers on health care and veterans issues. The two policy papers are hundreds of pages long, he says, but worth reading every one. Gee had shared the same sentiment during his speech to the gathered crowd.
These are not scribbled notes. These are not thoughts that are on the back of an envelope. These are very thoughtful policy pieces, which make them, among papers, truly extraordinary.
Aside from the volumes of papers, which Rockefeller calls his legacy memos, he and his wife Sharon also announced the donation of photos, pottery, art, and awards they received during the senator's 50 years of public service. Those are on display right now in a gallery in the Wise Library. But perhaps the biggest announcement made Saturday was one that will impact the education of future students. Again, President Gee.
The most lasting monument to Senator Rockefeller's work, however, will be the future leaders he inspires to dedicate their own lives to fulfilling that common duty of mankind, service to others. That is why I'm especially pleased to announce the new John D. Rockefeller IV School of Policy and Politics at West Virginia University. The school brings together...
Actually, you started out School of Politics and Policy, and I changed that to Policy and Politics. I don't know what it was. These leaders here at WVU are fascinated by politics. I love the policy.
And policy, Rockefeller says, is what the school will be devoted to. He says he'll take an active role in making sure future generations of leaders are exposed to something he loves so dearly.
The Rockefeller School of Policy and Politics is going to be fabulous. It's going to cover a broad range of study. It's going to do it openly, honestly, and absolutely fearlessly. And as I said, some of it will be controversial, and so be it. My vision, and one that President Gee and WVU shares, is a place that ignites the embers of service and scholarship in scores of young men and women for years and years to come, setting them on a path to utterly transforming West Virginia, and maybe just a little bit the world.
The announcement Saturday made the change official. WVU's political science department and programs are now housed within the John D. School. The policy program is still taking shape, but is intended to be up and running by the summer of 2015. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Morgantown.
And Democrat Nick Rahal of Beckley will leave his congressional office after 38 years of service. He'll be replaced by Republican Evan Jenkins. Even before the polls closed and before the votes were counted, the congressman seemed to know election night wasn't going to go his way. Rahal sat down with Suzanne Higgins on election night to reflect on the 2014 campaign and the successes he's had for Southern West Virginia while in office.
In the end, the majority of voters of District 3 did not stick with Nick, as his campaign urged. The 19-term Democratic congressman says out-of-state money has undermined the political process.
Well, the nature of the beast has certainly changed rather dramatically. We've seen it going that way a little bit over the last couple elections, but this year it really came into West Virginia full force. I've been under continuous assault for some 18 months now, I guess. Started earlier than ever. It's been all the outside billionaire money, basically the Koch brothers. They also have different other groups they've set up and drawn under their umbrella, such as Karl Rove and Don Blankenship and other outside groups that have just found West Virginia to their liking because they feel they can flip a Democratic seat to the Republican side solely based upon the antagonism toward the President of the United States. That's their organizing principle. I don't know what my opponent is for, because it's all been Ray Hall Obama. And that's not good. The West Virginia values are not represented by these outside groups. These outside groups want to privatize Social Security, change Medicare into a voucher system. They're against raising the minimum wage. They funded studies that would weaken mine safety laws and black lung benefits, and on down the list of issues that are not West Virginia values.
Rahal's campaign manager estimated the congressman received somewhere between $3 and $7 million in support from outside money. It's been estimated Evan Jenkins received between $8 and $10 million. Rahal chaired the House Committee on Natural Resources for 4 years and has been a ranking member of the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. He says he's proud of his record.
Well, I can look at individual projects across my district, from Pullman Square over in Huntington, from the Intermodal Gateway at Pritchard and Wayne County, on over here to Beckley, the big project here in downtown Beckley, the Coalfield Expressway. I forgot about Route 10 in between, the first $50 million I secured for that roadway, on over to the New River Gorge country. It was my bill that created the New River Gorge National Recreation Area back in the mid-'80s with a Republican in the White House, Ronald Reagan. That's helped diversify our economy. I can look across the spectrum of legislation that I'm very proud to have gotten through the Congress, but probably just as important, if not more so, is the individual help. The countless thousands of individuals through my congressional staff that we've been able to help, whether it's black lung benefits, veterans benefits, Social Security benefits, problems getting through the bureaucracy and the red tape. We've been there in responding and helped countless individuals do that. So I'm proud of my record, protecting coal jobs and protecting the safety, the health, and pension benefits of our coal miners.
Rahal remains grateful for the years of support throughout the region.
It has truly been a humbling and honoring experience to serve the people of West Virginia. I certainly want to thank the countless number of volunteers. I also want to thank my campaign staff, my congressional staff, who over the many years and decades have served the people of West Virginia in a professional and very proud manner. And, of course, I thank my family who's put up with this for all these years.
Rahal says he plans to stay in southern West Virginia and continue to fight for coal miners and veterans. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Suzanne Higgins in Beckley.
On Election Day last week, Republican Jill Upson defeated Democrat Tiffany Lawrence for the House of Delegates in the 65th District. Liz McCormick sat down with the delegate-elect and has this profile.
Jill Upson was born in California. After marrying her husband, who works in the military, they had to relocate every 2 years. 11 years ago, she and her husband moved to Charlestown in Jefferson County. Upson decided then she didn't want to live anywhere else.
When we got to this area, I just fell in love with it, and I just decided I'm done. That's it. I'm going to stay here. And so he continued to receive orders and move every 2 years, and I still stayed put. He's been all over the place, but I stayed and raised my children in Jefferson County.
Around 2009, after identifying as apolitical for most of her life, Upson became interested in politics and specifically Republican ideology. She started working with other candidates by volunteering and going door-to-door to interact with potential voters on their behalf. When the House of Delegates seat in the 65th District became available in 2012, Upson almost didn't run.
I initially said no, that I wasn't interested, and just through an entire series of events, that occurred in my life, I decided that this was probably a good time to go ahead and give it a try.
Upson lost in the 2012 election to Tiffany Lawrence, but this year the outcome was different. Her win surprised her.
What happened was the day of the election, I was online looking at the different projections, and they said that I probably wouldn't win. They said that the incumbent had a lot more money, and obviously incumbency is a benefit. And they just said that, you know, with the larger turnout that they were seeing, that they were thinking that I wasn't going to win. So I was very surprised when I ended up winning and by the margin with which I won. I mean, that was really a pleasant surprise.
Upson upset Lawrence with 56% of the total vote. She says she'll stand for more conservative values in Charleston.
Well, I stand for fiscal conservative policies. I ran on enhancing education, restructuring our tax policy and regulatory policies. My tagline was freedom and opportunity. So obviously individual freedom and economic opportunity.
Upson says she has a list of things she wants to work on once she's in office.
The first thing I want to look at is the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce came out with several policies that they put forth during the last legislative session that they felt would help spur economic growth. So I'd like to work with my colleagues in the legislature to really look at ways that we can start to implement some of those policies.
Her ultimate goal is to always remember the voters who put her in office. She says she wants to be open and listen to the people, keeping their needs in mind and the lines of communication open between the Eastern Panhandle and Charleston. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Liz McCormick in Shepherdstown.
Turn This Town Around is a project in which two communities, Matewan and Grafton, have been selected to receive training, coaching, and technical assistance to help revitalize their communities. Clark Davis has the story.
Wilma Lee Steele is on the board for the Mine Wars Museum in Matewan. They held an open house over the weekend where the public was able to come and vote on the color of carpet and how the museum will present the town's history.
I am totally amazed at how receptive the town has been and real supportive, just absolutely wonderful, and how the board is pulled together to bring so many things together, and everybody's got different skills and they just complement each other. So it's been hard work but wonderful.
Turn This Town Around is a project sponsored by West Virginia Focus, a partnership between West Virginia Public Broadcasting and the West Virginia Community Development Hub. Still, and other board members for the museum have used the Turn This Town Around project to find grant money to help revitalize the museum. She says remembering the past is one of the keys to turning around the small southern West Virginia town.
But I really want to see Matewan be the center of accurate history and appeal to those real historians, because that's already happening. People, when they read and they see that we got the history right, they want to support us. I want our town to be the place that's built on a foundation of solid history.
With just two meetings left after the recent November meeting, project groups are putting together plans on how they'll continue with their projects once meetings aren't happening monthly. Amanda Yeager is the Director of Community Strategies with the West Virginia Community and Development Hub.
What is next? What happens in January when we're not having the monthly meetings? And that we really want to encourage the community to still have these meetings and come together and talk about what they can do. So we have these little projects, but what are we going to do now? Like, once this project's done, what are we going to do now?
Projects like the Mine Wars Museum and Bike Friendly Matewan are two of a handful that have taken off. Yeager says attitudes are changing.
I can definitely see where the mindsets have been turned around. There's still work to do, but you can see the community members that have come to every meeting and that they're dedicated to Matewan and they're dedicated to making this a great place, a better place than what it already is. And I'm hopeful that that's going to continue to grow over 6 months, a year, 5 years from now.
Kelly Webb is a member of the Bike Friendly Matewan team, a project to set up bicycle trails that run through the area. She believes change is possible.
It's exciting for the people who have worked so hard on the project. It's exciting for the people who even haven't worked on the project because there's something new coming. But more importantly, it just proves that you can have an idea for a project. You can work together as a community and form collaborations and bonds with people, and something good can come out of it.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Matewan.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.